If you're born again of the Spirit of God, part of you is already over. Waiting or dragging the rest of us. Kicking and screaming to its change as well. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again here on this fine resurrection morning. I'd like to read from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Well, I wasn't excited about the heat today, but I understand 3 days in a row of 100-degree weather will cause the pollen to no longer be able to cause allergies. So. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were looking for an earthly kingdom, which is a good thing, because the word promises an earthly kingdom. But there had to be a spiritual kingdom come first. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, unless you think it is, which the Father hath put in his own power. Recall that there's a lunar eclipse taking place tonight, right? Which, you know, the moon is reflecting the sun off of the earth, and we'll see a red color reflecting off of the moon, and it's called a blood moon many times. There's other terms as well, but it's a lunar eclipse. And there are people going out on a limb once again, saying the rapture is going to take place because, you know, of this, that, and the other. It's all lined up, Feast of the Tabernacles, what have you. Maybe the rapture will happen. I just want to be ready all the time. I don't need a head start. I don't need to know a certain day. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons, times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Recall, they were justified. They were sanctified. They had a part in the ministry. They were casting out devils. But they had no power. So this is not that kind of power. It's not power to preach. It's not power to cast out devils. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And then he's speaking to us and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That word power in the Greek is dunamis, strength, power, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. I love that. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. I'd like to read a statement from the message, Getting in the Spirit. But what a consolation it should give, it should have give the nation, which was the true church then, to know that this man being sent to them to represent God had went home without even dying. He's speaking of Elijah. That had been raptured and taken up. A very beautiful type Elijah was of this day. Maybe a little off the beaten line for some man who knows the Bible better than I, but I kindly believe that there will be a message in the last days, something like Elijah, and that Elijah church-like will not die, but be translated, taken up. Now, this is exactly what Paul said. Not die, but be translated, taken up. We which are alive and remain shall be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, shall be gathered together in the air to meet our Lord. That Elijah church, like, will be not die, but be translated, taken up. Fire will take it up into glory. Where are we going to get this fire? What kind of fire? Campfire? The Pentecostal fire will rapture it up. Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to say that word. The Pentecostal fire will rapture it up. Well, you know you can't hold on to the message in Pentecost. Well, then how are you going in the rapture? And what do you mean by Pentecost? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth, we're thankful once again to be gathered together with those of like precious faith on this wonderful resurrection morning, the first day of the week. And Father, we ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. We ask that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd reveal your word to us, that you'd quicken it, Lord. Make it live amongst us. We didn't come here for a seminar. We didn't come here to, this isn't Mars Hill this morning where we're all coming with our own ideas and we're going to leave with our own ideas. And having itching ears, wanting to hear something different. But Lord, we've come to hear from you. And we've come to have your word revealed to us, quickened to us. And Lord, we've come so that when we go out, we will be written epistles read of all men. The word will be, that we've heard, will be alive and will be quickened, will be put into action. And Lord, you will interpret your word by living it out in our lives. I ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one of us this morning, Lord, those that are present, those that are listening in or will be. And Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here this morning, The Rapture Fire. The Rapture Fire. So if you're afraid of fire, you need to get over that fear. Just going to read a couple of scriptures here real quick to lay a foundation before we launch off. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not just hope, but through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 6:14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us. How? By his own power. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and it's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, wasn't just a seminar, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Somebody say sound mind. According to the power of God. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Hallelujah. The rapture fire. The rapture fire. So friends, we recognize that when we speak of Pentecost in this day, that many different thoughts come into people's minds as to the meaning of that word. What do you mean by Pentecost? Some immediately think of outward expressions of inward physical things such as emotions and sensations and feelings, and others think of outward what they would term as fanatical behavior of a person associated with Pentecost, which might include shouting or jerking of the body or running around or jumping up and down or rolling on the floor. Others will think of supernatural things that are seen or heard. And they'll often think of things that were seen and heard or described as having taken place in 1906 during the Azusa Street Revival in Southern California. But when you and I speak of Pentecost, I want you to know that we aren't speaking about what took place in 1906. And we aren't looking for a repeat of 1906 in 2022. What we recognize is that the true Pentecostal experience brought to our lives power to live the life that the Word declares of a Christian life in our day. And without that life, you can't live that life. It is power to overcome the devil. It's power to overcome the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And without this power, friends, we cannot manifest the word of the hour in our lives. No matter how sincere we are, no matter how faithful we are, no matter how perseverant, we must have that power. Recall that Peter was perseverant. Recall that Peter was dedicated, that he was sincere. But look at all the mistakes that he made before Pentecost. Look at how he tried to stand in the way of Jesus going to the cross. And Jesus had to tell him, "Get behind me, Satan." Because Peter was anointed of another spirit and didn't know what spirit he was of. Amen. Recall that Jesus said, "Satan wants to sift you as the sand, but I'm going to pray for you." And Peter's saying again, "You must have me confused with somebody else, Lord. You know me. I'm faithful." He says, "Well, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Recall that when Jesus died on the cross, they asked Peter, "Do you know that guy?" "No." Somebody else asked him. He says, "No, I don't know that blankety blank guy. I don't have any part in him." Recall that Peter was sincere. Recall that Peter wanted to do what was right, but Peter didn't have the power. Peter wasn't converted. And Jesus said, "Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And we see the Peter after Pentecost is a different Peter than Peter before Pentecost. The flesh man is still there, but there's another life that's living within him that's taking charge. So it's power to overcome the devil and the world in this last day. And without this power, friends, we cannot manifest the word of the hour in our lives. We can't produce it. We can try all we want, but you can't make it happen. God has to anoint his own word to make it live. So without this power, excuse me for being blunt here this morning, without this power, we cannot be Christ-like. We cannot really truly call ourselves Christians. We can say, "I'm trying to be a Christian," right? But a Christian doesn't try to be a Christian. A Christian is endued with power from on high, is endued with the very life of Christ, and so lives a Christ-like life. So we can look at the word for our day, and we can say that we agree with it and sincerely agree with it. We can say that we want that portion of the word to live out through us. But desire alone, friends, will not produce the life of Christ in us. Certainly that desire must be in us, or we would never die out in the first place to our old worldly nature and our worldly desires. But once we make that choice and once we fully surrender our lives to him, he promises to come and impart a portion of his very own spirit in our lives, which is power to make our bodies line up to our confession of the word. And it's power ultimately to change our bodies. It's power, if we go the way of the grave, to bring us out of the grave. You see, it takes a born-again experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to live the life of an end-time believer. And the kind of life which is described in God's word can only be lived by Christ himself. It is a transforming power, and it starts in the soul, and it continues working in us until a final transformation takes place in our bodies. And the reason why people can't overcome the world is simply because they're not born from above. That's not a criticism, it's a fact. You cannot overcome if Christ is not in you. There's only one Holy Ghost, friends. And if that Holy Ghost is living in you, then you have the power to live a godly, righteous, sanctified, overcoming life. And the word for our day did not come to us in written and spoken word only, but in power and demonstration. It was lived out. It was proven. It was vindicated so that you could say, I want that life. And if that very same life is in you, it'll produce the same thing. Friends, we are more than conquerors living in this last age. We are not overcome, we are overcomers. And there's a promise to each age, to the overcomers of each age. It's not because they're better, it's not because they're smarter, it's not because they're more sincere. It's because they're born from above. So we are living in an age where every devil that comes against the bride body, universal, will be overcome. As individuals, we will not all battle the same spirits. We will not all face the same exact devils. But the devils that do come against us will be defeated. And we know that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that he accomplished this through his work of redemption on Calvary and at his resurrection and at his ascension, when he punched a hole through heaven and made a way for us to come back into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our enemy this morning, friends, is defeated. But somebody needs to remind him of that. He is still claiming to have rights over our flesh, and he is still coming against our flesh. And none of us are immune to those temptations or those challenges. And so we have been given power to bring this disputed territory. I'm talking about your flesh this morning, not somebody else's. We have been given power to bring this disputed territory. Satan says, it's mine. I'm going to take it into the grave. God says, it's mine. I'm going to take it into a rapture. We have been given power to bring this disputed territory under the control and under the occupation of the kingdom of God. The claims of Calvary are being enforced in this territory this morning. The story of your life this morning, friends, has been rewritten by the great author himself. He has ripped out the pages that describe the life that you lived, that was a result of your first birth and your first nature, which you were born unto not willingly. You became subject to vanity not willingly. And what remains are the pages of another book, pages in another part of the book that describe your born again life, which is the word lived out of this hour concerning you. Your former deeds have been erased. The word concerning you declares a different kind of a life in and through you. And that life is the word in you, quickened by the Holy Ghost. It's a transformational power. It's an overcoming power. It's an I can do all things kind of a power through Christ that strengtheneth me. This Pentecostal power, this rapture fire, it's what makes the word live in you, and it's what makes the word manifest through you on the earth. Satan says one thing about you. Satan says you're a loser. Satan says you're a scaredy cat. Satan says all these different things about you. But God says something different. Amen? Amen. And this power brings into being what God says about you. And it is an enforcing power of the word. It will make the word live. It will make your body line up to your confession when you speak it. And that's why we need to speak it. So what do you mean by speak it, Brother Baker? Well, it's what you say. It's what you agree with. You speak a whole lot more than you realize. And you speak against yourself, if you're not careful, more than you realize. You speak according to your first birth more than you realize. So we have to change our manner of speech. We have to talk about the one that's been born again and not the one that we've lived with for so long. So you may have once said, you know, I'm a nervous person, or I'm afraid of the dark. That was me. I never thought I would get over it. I am. Or I'm selfish, or I have lots of fears, or so on and so forth. Just fill in the blanks. And when you say those things, friends, that is what you believe, and that's what you will live. You didn't ask to be born fearing the dark, for instance. But it's the human grab bag, and that's what you were dealt with, right? What are you going to overcome? But you notice that you fear the dark, and then you confess that that's who you are, and you may even rationalize it and defend it. But when you are born from above, you have power to become who you really are and to overcome who you once were. Those that stand against this Pentecostal power, Paul said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Those that stand against this Pentecostal power, they may have accepted new doctrines. They may have accepted new ideas in their minds. But they lack the power for those thoughts to become reality in their souls and to be manifested in their lives. They lack the quickening power that causes the word to take on flesh and to match the written and spoken word of God concerning you. You see, the Holy Spirit will only live the kind of life that's described in God's word. It won't live any other kind of life. And only as you surrender your will to the will of God. So in other words, friends, it is possible for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have periods of time where you're not moving forward. You're stagnant, or you're discouraged, or whatever it might be. And you believe you're stuck, but you're not. The power is in you. But you got to dig deep. You got to say, not my will, but thy will. You got to surrender. Say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Let your word be done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. So at best, a person who embraces the word for their day and claims to believe it, but is not born again of the Spirit of God, at best, they will be an impersonator of a true believer. I didn't say they aren't sincere. I didn't say they wouldn't try. That was me at one time. But you can't live the life of a sheep unless you're a sheep. They will experience perhaps the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They will have new desires. Their desires will be to live the right kind of a life. But they will lack the power to make that word live in them and to do the will of God. And they will be frustrated. His word must be revealed to you, and it takes the Holy Spirit in your life to reveal it to you and then to quicken it in you and make it live. You can be delivered of alcohol, you can be delivered of tobacco, drugs, lust, politics, unrighteous living, and still not be the fulfillment of the word written for your day. You can be like the rich young ruler, a nice young man that keeps the law. You can be sanctified and still not be put into service by the master and for the master. You can be justified and sanctified, giving your heart to the Lord, and still not have a revelation of his word because you're not born again of the Spirit. The only way for us to do the will of the Father, which is to believe every word concerning us and to say amen to every word, whether we understand it or not, and to surrender our will so that his will is done in our lives. The only way that can happen is to have that word made power within us. And the only way that word can be made power within us is for us to have a Pentecost. It's for us to receive that rapture fire from above. And the church says,
amen.
Hallelujah. And when that word is made power in us, friends, you will know that it's not your flesh or your will alone that is causing the word to be lived out. You will know that. You will be absolutely convinced that something greater is in you. You are then the living word. You are a written epistle, as Paul said, being read of all men in our day as the word is being lived out. Your flesh is still there, of course. And your flesh still desires to eat. Your flesh still desires to sleep. Your flesh still desires to stay home, perhaps. But it is not the will of your flesh or your intelligence or your emotions that's living out the word. It is the word living out the word in you. It is the Spirit of Christ in you. And you become what God says about you versus what Satan says about you. So we're in a battle, and there's two forces that are trying to tell us. One saying we're of the kingdom of Satan. The other one says we're of the kingdom of God. Who are you going to believe? The Christ in you this morning, friends, wants to come to church. And so you don't stay home. Of course, your flesh is tempted to do otherwise. But the word in you is power to overcome the temptations of the flesh. Do you know what an excuse is? Well, you know I'm going to tell you. It's your flesh explaining why it was tempted and why you gave over to the temptation of the flesh or to your own will. That's what an excuse is. An excuse is a rationale for why you did not overcome. And you're okay with it. It's you saying, I can't do it. And that's fine. It's you saying, I'm an exception. I'm a different kind of Christian. You sure are. Friends, instead of making excuses, if you feel like you're being picked on, I want to shake you this morning. I want you to realize you're in a battle. And you need to fight. It's not just for some of us to get up every morning and fight to get out of bed. Fight to be positive. Fight to read our Bible. Fight to pray. And whatever you're going through is not worse than what everybody else is going through. If you think it is, you need to hear some more testimonies. Somebody always has it worse than you. So instead of making excuses, we should repent for giving in to the temptation, and we should get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we should believe God, and we should take God at his word and say, God, I'm going to overcome this thing by the power of your word, by the fire of the rapture. I'm going to overcome this thing in my life. I'm not going to stay this way. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You see, your first birth is Satan's testimony describing your life on this earth. But your second birth is a completely new story written in you by God himself. It is the life that God desired for you to live had there not been a fall. Which story are you going to believe this morning? Whichever story you believe, that's what you're going to live. If you got a card full of excuses, you're going to live that kind of a life. The body of Christ on the earth today, friends, is the fullness of the word for this day living on the earth. The fullness of the word, Christ, the head, uniting with the body. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about individuals that make up the whole. She is the declaration of the will of the Father, and his will is being done on the earth as it is in heaven. And since she is the word of God concerning the age that she's living in, she will overcome every lie of the devil. And the devil will, friends, he will send demons of sickness. And those demons will declare this body is sick. But the word of God declares she's healed. And so the word of God overcomes devils of sickness in her body. And every devil of hell has been loosed against her in this hour. And those devils are being overcome, friends, by the power of God that's in her. This holy fire, this fire that took Enoch, that took Elijah up in a rapture, this fire is burning in a body this morning. And it will take a bride body in a rapture. Not just one, but a whole body. So the bride on the earth this morning, friends, has both the power to live a sanctified life and the power to live the will of God, which is the word of God concerning her. And it is the power of the Holy Ghost that lives out a life that is above sin. You can't say amen to that and make excuses. You need to quit making excuses and say, you know what, I'm sick of that. I want to overcome that. I'm done with that. It's the power for her to submit her will to the will of the Father. It is the power to make the word live in her. I don't care what you're battling in your life, friends, and I don't mean that being insensitive. What I'm trying to say is that there's nothing that you're going through that the word can't overcome. This fire will overcome that if you will surrender to it. I'm so glad for conviction in this hour, friends, so that we can repent of our wrongdoings and of our mistakes. That's the Holy Ghost in us tutoring us in our walk, and we will need that up until the time of our body change. But that same Holy Ghost is also empowering us to live out the word so that we don't need to repent. So which would you rather do, repent or live the word? That's a rhetorical question. I don't expect an answer. We repent for the times when the word is not being lived out in our flesh, but the power is now within us to live that word out in our flesh. We just don't believe it all the time. And we need to. We need our faith to rise. We need to believe what the word of God says and not what our DNA tells us, not what our family tells us, not what history tells us, not what our memory tells us, but what the word of God says. The power is in us this morning to make our bodies line up to what the word says concerning us. But that must be your confession. Friends, as we grow and as we mature as sons and daughters of God, we will see more and more and more of the word made power in our lives. And we'll have more and more testimonies, and it'll become more and more without us even thinking about it. It'll just be lived out as we get more and more victories, and the image of the word will come into focus as it's displayed in our lives. But without this power in our lives, the word cannot become more than just an idea in our minds and something that we discuss on Wednesdays and Sundays and then go live some other kind of a life. But with this power in us, the word then becomes flesh. It becomes reality in our very own lives. The conversation and debate between God and Satan is answered by the word declared by one or the other that's being lived out in our lives. So what's being manifested in your life is dependent on what you say. And what you say is dependent on what you believe. So if we say that we are believers, and we say, well, I can't overcome this or that, we're denying the word. Because the word says, there has no temptation come upon you but such as is common to man. And he will, with every temptation, provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's what the word says. So if we say that we're believers, and we really are believers, then God comes and places in us power for that word that we claim to believe to become manifested in our lives. That it's not just a word only, but there's life. There's a demonstration. Somebody help me out this morning. You know, we got to take the gloves off sometimes and just call right, right, wrong, wrong. We don't want to be religious this morning, and we're not looking to protect anybody's feelings. We're looking to protect your identity. If you're a Christian, we want to confess Christianity. We say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, And the Holy Ghost power then broods over that word. And guess what? It becomes a reality in our lives. You don't have to make it come to pass. The word will, the power will cause that word to come to pass. Friends, it's wonderful to repent. But our goal in this life is to live a life that stops us from making the mistake in the first place. I would much rather allow the Holy Ghost to lead me than to have to repent for things that I do when I'm not being led of the Holy Ghost. And there will be times when we'll do things that we were not led of the Holy Ghost to do, and we will repent, and I thank God for that. But I don't want to live a life where I'm just constantly repenting. Lead me not into temptation, Father, but deliver me from evil. You say, but Jesus was tempted and we will be tempted. Well, of course, but it's true that Satan will try to tempt us, but God will not lead you into temptation. God will guide your footsteps so that you can bypass the traps and the snares that the devil lays out for you. Friends, you don't have to step in every trap, and you don't have to tantalize every rattlesnake you come across. You can go around it. God's not going to lead you into a bar room. Well, you know, I wasn't planning on taking a drink, but I was in a bar. What were you doing in a bar? Well, the Lord, no. He will not lead you into a chat room where an argument with a religious spirit awaits you. He will not lead you into a red light district. Satan may raise things around you as you follow the leading of the Lord in your life. Oh, not maybe, he will. But God has made a way of escape for you along the path. He's made a way for you to overcome every temptation. I didn't say it's easy. I said he made a way for you to overcome. But you've got to be willing to take up your sword and fight. God doesn't lead you into traps. Traps of the devil where there's no way out. If we step into those traps, we've done it. Thankfully, we can repent. And we can be pulled out of those traps. Amen? But why go into it to begin with? So we have to watch the flesh man. And we have to keep the flesh man under us. But the way we do that is to walk in the Spirit and to be led of the Spirit. That means starting your day being God-minded. Being having true godliness. Your mind is on God. You're thinking of God. You're saying, Lord, it's a new day. What would you have me do? When we walk close to God, friends, the devil doesn't even know what to do with us. In fact, he can't even find us. He'll throw darts at our flesh to try to locate us. But if your confession is, I'm having a great day, then he's wondering, have I found the right person? Where is this one? He can't find you. He doesn't know what to do with you. Our biggest problems come when we are not walking close to God. Friends, I've never heard a testimony yet where a person said, you know, I was in his presence and I was just having such a jubilee and just such a peace and such a rest. And he was talking things over with me and I with him. And then suddenly I backslid. Can't happen. You can't backslide in his presence. When we're not walking daily with the Lord, and we can fall into that groove, when we're not walking daily with the Lord, that's when we struggle. And that's when we take on the mindset of this is so hard. And what do I need to do to overcome this certain thing? Well, you would know if you were walking with him. What we need to keep in front of us in our minds is that when you are walking with him, you are overcoming all things. You're not being overcome of the evil one while you're walking with him. He's that power that's down in your heart that is overcoming the world. He's the rapture fire that's indwelling in you. Excuse me, my voice is about gone, but I'm going to preach anyway. But when we grieve the Spirit, friends, we open ourselves up to the attack of the enemy unless we quickly repent. And that's how we want to walk. We want to walk so close to him that the very moment that we do something that isn't pleasing to him, you will experience that conviction. You know why some of you are so unhappy? It's not because you aren't filled with the Spirit. You are. You're unhappy because you're convicted all the time. And you're convicted all the time because you're not walking in the Spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you will be unhappy. Well, praise the Lord. Give me five, Brother Oscar. Hallelujah. Or, you know, a little nod would be okay too. So you're not being overcome of the evil one, and you can't be while you're walking with him. But when we grieve the Spirit, we open ourselves up to the attack of the enemy unless we quickly repent. So the key is to quickly repent. Don't let a day go by. Some of you let months go by, and you'll even take communion, and you'll still let it go by. And then you wonder why you're unhappy. And then you get this image that the church isn't loving and nobody cares for you and all that. You're going to a different church than I'm going to, because I'm overcoming and the people here love me and I can count on their prayers and I can count on their service. So when we repent, the power of the Holy Spirit covers that place back up. And there are things that you will need to keep covered up in prayer. You got a punch coming. So we need to change our mindset from, oh no, here comes another day at work where I will be attacked by devils. And instead, walk in the Spirit and recognize that the devils that I face today are going to be defeated. And that those devils are actually the ones that are saying, oh no, I got to go to Doug's work today and be defeated. You see, it shouldn't be you who's tormented any longer. You have been set free from the tormentor, and you have actually become a tormentor. Not to your brothers and sisters, but to the devil. The headlines in the papers ought to read this morning, friends, about hell is declaring, oh no, I have to face another son or daughter of God again today. Satan, please let me be excused. Please send some other demon. Oh no, another day at Love Divine Fellowship with those holy rollers, where the kingdom of Satan is suffering violence, where testimonies are coming for us of deliverance and healing, where people are believing God's word and God's word is coming to pass, and he's getting the glory. Satan's kingdom is suffering violence. Hallelujah. Oh no, another day in Tucson where these holy rollers make us sit down and shut up. Friends, because of you, those devils cannot have free reign. And they cannot roam around freely. The world's going to find this out when we truly are raptured. They think we're nuts, but guess what? Nuts are what hold the bolts. Nuts are what hold things together. You take out the nuts, everything falls apart. They think they want us gone. When we're gone, they're going to wish they never would have had that thought. Because Satan's going to have free reign. But because you're here, because the Spirit of God is here, Satan can't have, he can't even become incarnate. He can't take on flesh as long as you're here. Those spirits have to submit to the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you're here and you're filled with the Holy Ghost will have the preeminence. So instead of saying this morning, friends, oh no, another day in Tucson traffic. Help me, Lord. Somebody posted here the other day, I can't believe out of 7.5 billion people on the earth, I'm the only one that knows how to drive right. I know we feel that way sometimes. One in a million. There's a million people here in Tucson. So instead of you saying, oh no, another day in Tucson traffic, the kingdom of hell says, oh no, another day when I'm going to have to beg to not be cast out completely. I might have to look for another hog nature to inhabit. Since I'm not being allowed to work where this son of God is walking, where this daughter of God is walking. Demons should be saying to you this morning, friends, what have I have to do with, what do you have to do with us before our time? Our time's not up yet, is it? And you say, no, your time's not up yet, but you are not going to continue acting that way around me. You may still dwell here on the earth, but you're not going to behave that way around me. Get off my land, devil. Go find some other place to hang out. I'm not sending you to the lake of fire yet. I'm not kicking you in there, but I am kicking you off my land. Hallelujah. The kingdom of Satan, friends, must bow to the kingdom of God when the power of the Holy Ghost takes control of your life and enforces God's word in your life. We're not going out of here crawling and saying, man, I barely made it. God, if you didn't come, I would have been suffocated. No, Satan wants you out of here. You're ruining his Eden. He can't have free reign as long as you're here. Why do you think all this, all the forces are trying to get rid of the Ten Commandments and get rid of this and get, you know, redefine marriage, all these things. You're trying to get rid of the word. But as long as you're here, they can't. Because the word is in you. And the spirit is in you. Living that word. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But Brother Doug, we're in Satan's Eden. It's so dark. It's so spooky. It's so scary. People are doing such evil things. And things are falling all around us. And you can't depend on anything. And you can't believe anybody. Aren't you scared, Pastor? Aren't you afraid of what's happening in this world? Actually, no, I'm not. Actually, no, I'm not. But I'll tell you who is scared. You see, you're looking at the wrong picture. When I was a boy, I was scared of what might be there in the dark. But the cure to my night fears was to turn on the light and then force darkness to leave. I'm walking in the light now. So what have I to fear? As long as he's with me, what do I have to fear? Some of you need to quit petting your fear. You say, well, why are you picking on me? That's the thing that I'm facing. That's what God gave you to overcome. That's who Satan's trying to tell you, who you are. And through your genetics, maybe that's who you are, born in the flesh. But when you're born again of the Spirit, perfect love cast down all fear. God doesn't want you to live in fear. Oh, I don't know about that. Psalm 27:1. Let me remind you. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, that's just talking about David. No, actually, David's talking about you. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. That's sickness. They stumbled and fell. Why? Because you resisted them. Though you didn't fear them. Though an host, an army of devils, should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, you say that's coming. This is a time of trouble. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. He's not going to hide me in the tribulation. I ain't going to be here. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Jesus Christ revealed to me personally. And now shall my head be lifted up above all my enemies, and Christ is my head. All my enemies round about me, therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. How you doing? Well, I will sing praises unto the Lord. If you don't believe that, you're not going to live it. You have to believe it. Friends, I'm not the one that should be afraid this morning. It's my enemy. Truly is fearful. Listen, they were under the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament. And when the musicians, as they played here this morning, began to play, the devils, their enemies were struck in their heart with fear. That's before the word was even preached. That was under the blood of bulls and goats. How about born again sons and daughters of God? The demons are trembling. The kingdom of heaven is not quaking in its boots. The kingdom of hell is. And you're a threat. And the kingdom of hell must give way as we possess the gates of our enemies this morning. Friends, you just got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and take God at his word and realize, you know what? If I'm anxious, I don't have to be that way the rest of my life. I don't care if I was born that way. What's that have to do with the new birth? The real me is not anxious. Well, my flesh is feeling anxious. Well, let's let the word take a hold. Bring that peace, that rest, that joy. Some of you are just, I don't know. I'm an exception. Well, you're a different kind of Christian then. Because what do you think you're going to overcome? The IRS? The Republican Party? Democrat Party? Your neighbor? You're overcoming the story that the devil is telling you about you. Listen, I overcame the fear of darkness in my 20s. And I never thought, and I could play that card my whole life. I could make excuses. I could reason it out. But I've overcome by the power of his spirit. Now, darkness is afraid of me. Absolutely. Spirits are afraid of me. People used to torment me that had spirits in them. And I had no idea. I developed a complex because I noticed I was being picked on, singled out, where other people weren't. That is complex material. And I did not understand what it was. But now, the very ones that caused me those complexes, they're fearing. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about demons. Hallelujah. I remember one time we went to this. I could just give you many, many testimonies as an example. But I remember I was down in Mexico City, and we drove from Mexico City out to the coast to Veracruz. And on the way, there was this little brouhaha place, this little town that was, you know how places will. Well, here we got the Old West, and you know they'll glamorize being a whore or a six shooter that shoots anybody that looks at them wrong, and right, and it's kind of glamorized, right? Instead of called evil, right? They stink and don't take a bath and whatever. Well, they had this town that was kind of, you know, isn't this funny? It's all witches, and there were people dressed up like witches and were acting like witches, and you know, and it was like a big joke. And we went into this restaurant, and I watched this woman go around to the tables, and she's telling different ones. You want me to tell you what's in your future, and you this and that, and they were actually paying her after a while. You know, I noticed different ones were giving her tips or whatever. And I watched her, and I'm thinking, I wonder if she's going to come over here, you know. And sure enough, she came over, and she looked at me, and she says, would you like me to tell you your future? And I said, well, ma'am, I know my future. Would you like me to tell you yours? And her eyes got real big, and she walked out and looked back a couple of times. I'm not afraid of them. Why should I be afraid? And that's not special for me, but for any child of God. Whom shall I fear? Don't live in fear, friends. You've been delivered from fear. We have not the spirit of bondage again to fear. We did have the spirit of bondage to fear, but we have the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Father, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's the kingdom of hell that's quaking this morning. And it's the kingdom of hell that's under our feet. And death is being brought under our feet. The greatest message to hit the face of the earth is here this morning. And there's power here this morning. I just can't believe people are waiting for something that's already here. There's power here to make this message live. And if it isn't, then what are we following? Well, where's the power at, Brother Doug? Is it on tape? Is it in my Bible? Is it on my prayer cloth? That power is in you. If you are born again of the Holy Ghost this morning, look no further. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Oh, Brother Doug, I was with this group today that shouted and they danced and they saw signs and they had such a lively service and such dynamic speakers. Okay, nothing wrong with that. What happened when they went back home? What happened when they went to school? What happened when they went to work? What happened when they got out into traffic? Somebody else says, oh yeah, well, where I was at, I saw the kingdom of hell falling before my feet. And I saw people living out what was spoken out of the mouths of prophets. I saw Christ on the scene. Which story would you like to have this morning? I saw devils being cast out by the preaching of the word. And then I saw homes being straightened out without any counseling. And I saw hospital rooms being emptied. And I saw teenagers having prayer meetings. And brothers at work winning souls. I saw mothers ministering to their families in their homes instead of gossiping the trash of the devil. And I saw the message of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10 and Luke 17 lived out in flesh, even though the messenger is no longer amongst us. I saw Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I saw Jesus on the scene today. Why are you so unhappy? Didn't you see Jesus today? He's on the scene. I saw the word made power, Brother Doug. Instead of hearing grumblings of church members, I heard angels singing. I came to the same church, but I heard something different. And I heard hell moaning and groaning. I heard hell begging for those holy rollers to leave. What is this power, friends? Questions and answers. It would be like me saying, all you church now, every one of you, you come in and be baptized here with water and we put you on the church membership. We're all going to glory together. Well, that's like being baptized under John's baptism, right? Your heart's being turned, but you aren't born again. Why, brother, that's not scripture. Unless you are born again, circumcised of the Holy Spirit, you got to be, I don't care how good you are, what church you belong to, how good your parents was. Nobody's saying you aren't a good person. Except you, as an individual, has been born again by the Holy Ghost, you'll never go in the rapture. See, you can't go. That's the very delivering sign. The circumcision is of the Holy Spirit. It's your heart being circumcised. So we need to have rapture fire within us, friends. And we cannot overemphasize this. And if that rapture fire is in you, you aren't looking for signs. You say, well, the fuel that I need for a rapture is in the message. And I believe this message. We've heard that time and time again, right? Rapturing faith is in this message. Well, the message is not going in the rapture. But what good is fuel without fire to make it burn? That's the fuel. No arguing there. That's our source. You can build a rocket according to the specifications. You can place it on the launch pad. You can begin a countdown to the launch. But unless you have fire to ignite that fuel, you can say ignition all you want. But that rocket's going to sit right there on the launch pad. And it may be the prettiest thing you've ever seen. It takes fire to ignite the word, friends, and to make it live. And where the fire is, there'll be a battle. It will take fire to lift us up as Elijah was lifted up. Your chariot of fire is your theophany lick of fire, and it will carry you to a body change. Enoch walked with God one day in a moment of time. But we are looking at a time, friends, when a whole bunch of Enoch brothers and sisters are going to take their flight. Amen. Young Holy Ghost filled boys and girls will instantly become young adults. Amen. Aren't you lucky? I spent all of my childhood wanting to be a young adult. Now I'm spending the rest of my life wanting to be a young adult. You're going to skip all that. An 80 and 90 year old, notice how I raised the age up a little bit. 60 is not so old anymore. 80 and 90 year old men and women will become young again and stay that age forever. The rapture has already begun. If you've been caught up from the chicken yard that you were living in to soar in the heavenlies, your body will catch up one day to where your soul has already been caught up, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the message, Abraham, and if you ever go in the rapture, you're going to have the same spirit in you that was on Jesus Christ. That's God's covenant with his church. Amen. Don't you take a cold formal handshake. You take a heartwarming experience from God of being born again. Now, he's not saying a hot handshake would be okay. No, a handshake's not okay. A handshake is okay, but it's not going to put you in a rapture. So don't pay any attention to what those that are turning from the word in this day have to say. They are doing that only because they were not born again, and therefore they are not caught up. You ever rise above the chicken yard, friends, and soar like an eagle, soar with the eagles, feed with the eagles, you'll never go back to the chicken coop to live again. You've flown the coop. In fact, they don't want you back anyway. The feeling's mutual. You didn't like it when you were there. And you're sure not going to go back. To where would we go? There's nowhere else for you to go but up. Think about it. If you were to leave this message, where would you go? You won't leave the launch pad, but you will wait to hear the command ignition, and then you'll take your flight. Friends, every part of the rocket has been tested already. That's the beauty of it. We're not sitting on the launch pad wondering if this is going to work. The mechanics have been proven. And you've been getting all the fuel that you can get. And your rocket is fueled up. It's not an all-electric vehicle. It's got oil. So, you know, some oil's okay. All right, let's don't embargo all oil. Get oil. Fill your lamp. Get extra oil. The Old Testament song doesn't go like this. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the electricity that flowed down Aaron's head and down to his garment. It's oil. And oil is the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with electricity. Just showing you that you can get your priorities wrong. You need oil. Electricity is something that you wait for. Oil is something that you have. But it needs a flame. to put it into action. You don't need a flame with electricity, do you? Every part of that rocket has been tested. Proven. That's the trials in your life. And you've been getting all the fuel oil that you can get. And your rocket is fueled up. And you've seen that fuel burning time and time again. And you know the power that's released from it when the fire strikes it. So this is not the time, friends, to look for a different rocket. This is not the time for a plan B or a plan C. This is not the time to argue about whether or not the clouds are real. The last sign has been given. And the countdown has begun, and it can't be called off. Well, Houston, what number are we at on the launch clock? Well, Eagle One, this is Houston. The clock is counting down in a language that's unknown to you, but known to Central Control, who is controlling this launch. What we can tell you, Eagle One, is that it's 2 minutes to midnight, and the launch sequence has commenced. The morning stars are shining right now, and we've already heard many sons of God, astronauts, shouting for joy when they found their names on the launch roster book and saw that they were going to take to outer space. Launch will commence at the rising of the sun. And you'll feel a fire flowing through you. You'll see a spark ignite that fuel. And the ignition will command a trump to sound. And you'll feel the earth rumbling at your feet as you move from this dimension into outer space, where creatures in this dimension cannot go without a garment, a space suit. The earth beneath you, it's going to shake as the earth below quakes. Once more I shake not the heavens only, but the earth also. The earth only, but the heavens also. Friends, before we see that part of this great rapture, before we gather together, before we meet our Lord in the air, we got to have rapture fire burning within us. And when you get that rapture fire, you'll become an addict. You'll want to get refueled. You'll come to church to get refueled. You'll read your Bible to get refueled. You'll spend time in prayer to get refueled. You'll get kind of addicted to that fuel. We've got to have that fire burning in us. We've got to meet that pillar of fire on a one-on-one basis so that that fire is lit. We've got like a little pilot light that's burning. We've got to have that overcoming fire burning within us. It takes fire for the rocket to overcome the power of gravity. It has all the mechanics, it has the fuel, but it needs fire. It takes fire for the believer to overcome the powers of Satan in this hour. It takes fire for the believer to overcome all that's binding you to this earth, that's pulling you to the grave. It takes fire to pull you towards the heavens. It takes a holy walk. It takes a walk with God. And that holy fire is here this morning. And if we're not careful, we'll get settled in and we'll miss what's happening in our midst if we're not careful. What we should be saying this morning, Lord, is give me more oil. Father, make sure that fire is burning. Let it burn within me. Because that fire is going to take me on a journey. That fire is going to take me home someday. Make sure I'm on fire, Lord. Make sure I stay on fire. Don't let me cool off. Don't let me get pulled aside. Don't let me listen to the devil's description of me. Don't let me believe that the devil says I'm this and I'm that and I'm that. I won't deny that that's the kind of life that I once lived, but that's not who I am. In the volume of the book, I don't see a Jacob any longer. I see an Israel. Let's stand this morning. Maybe not a deep message this morning, friends. Maybe not mysterious. But some of the greatest things in this walk are right in front of us. And if we're not careful, we aren't seeing the obvious. We're not praying, oh God, send the power. The power's here. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the power. We will pray for you anytime that you ask us to. But at some point, you need to start praying for you. And you need to start believing. You need to start declaring. You need to start saying, thank you, Lord, for giving me this power. Now, Lord, I need it in this area of my life. I need it in that area of my life. Lord, I've faced this thing for years and years and years, and the devil tells me I'll never overcome it. But, Lord, I'm going to believe what you say. I want that power to vindicate itself in my life. I want to overcome this night fear, whatever. I want to overcome this anxiety. I want to overcome this sickness. I want to overcome this self-doubting. I want to overcome this feeling of unworthiness. I'm talking about a complex type of unworthiness. None of us are worthy. But when you're feeling in your soul that you're not worthy, in your soul you are, if you've been born from above. You came from God, you'll go to God. Whatever it is this morning, friends. And it's one step after another. It's one day after another. We don't see this overnight. It's a process. We're fighting battles. And we're overcoming. And we're one testimony at a time. Amen. One promise at a time. Don't give up. Don't listen to the devil. He hasn't won. You may lose some skirmishes, but you'll win the war. Amen. If you've fallen, get up. If you're discouraged, say, God, help me. Amen. Encourage me. Amen. Lift me up, Lord. Restore the joy of my salvation. Amen. Most of the time when people say, I've lost the joy of my salvation, they pulled away from God. Right. Or they aren't coming to church. Right. And of course, they always have excuses. Yeah. But of course, that's how it works. You know, if I was to tell my wife, you know, why don't you love me like you used to, and I never come home? Yeah. Whose fault is that? At least up to that point, it's my fault. And in my case, it would always be my fault. Because she's the one that says, I love you. And I say, I know. No. But if I wasn't around her, I wouldn't hear that, would I? She doesn't just tell me that. She demonstrates it. She demonstrates it every day. By what she does for me, by how she treats me. She lives it. I don't question it. I don't wonder. Why? Because we're walking together on a daily basis. You know what? Quit feeling sorry for yourself. I just want to slap you. You know, I genuinely felt sorry for myself for many years. Judas felt so sorry for himself that he committed suicide. Don't be a Judas. Peter felt sorry for himself, and then he said, God, change me. Help me. I never thought that I would deny you three times, but I did. I've hit bottom. Help me, Lord. Lift me up. Change me. Make me, mold me, make me be what you want me to be. But you've got to let him do it. Get off the roller coaster. If you're on a roller coaster this morning, quit. Get off that roller coaster. Well, how do I do it? Quit making excuses. Instead, confess what the Word says.
Amen. Yes.
You confess it. Ask God to reveal it to you. You'll live it. You will become what you confess. If it's all darkness and gloom and doom and nobody loves me, well, that's what it'll be. Because that's your confession. Right? The difference between a person with a positive confession and a negative confession is the confession. That's the difference. It isn't that one has better flesh than the other. One is smarter than the other. One is better looking than the other. It's your confession. Who are we going to believe this morning? Somebody say, praise the Lord. The rapture fire. The rapture fire. Friends, this isn't a message. It is in part to those that don't have that rapture fire yet, to encourage you to ask God to start to light the fire. But it's also to those that are just in kind of maintenance mode. And if you are, you're not happy. You can't be. And I'm thankful for that. Because if you were happy, then you're not even born again. But you're feeling convicted. But you don't have to. Conviction is not something. Conviction isn't dread. Conviction isn't something that you carry around with you. Conviction is something that comes to you and you repent. Say, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to go that way. And then the burden's lifted. And you're happy. And you're at peace. And there's joy. How many can say amen to that this morning? If this isn't true, let's go do something else. Let's go follow Confucius or confusion or go wait for Muhammad to come back on his horse. Let's go to Mecca, have jihad. This is the truth, friends.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you this morning, we're just so thankful that we're not what we used to be. We're thankful, Lord, that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We're thankful, Lord, that you have not given us the spirit of fear, the spirit to fear again, but you've given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. We're thankful, Lord, that you've set us free, that we were bound. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given us life, and a more abundant life. We thank you, Lord, that you first gave us a desire. You drew us, and we had a desire to live the kind of life, but we convinced ourselves that we needed something more than just a desire. And Lord, you showed us in your word that if we would just die out to our own will, to our own self, repent, Lord, that you would come in and live that kind of a life. And Lord, as long as we're surrendering our will to you, we'll see that life lived out in us. Then we realize that our own will can still get in the way. And we'll be unhappy when our own will gets in the way. But Lord, we're thankful that your Spirit won't leave us in that condition, but your Spirit will bring conviction. And we're thankful for that because then we can say, Lord, I know what to repent of. I'm not wondering. It's not a mystery. I know what I need to make right. I know what I need to do differently. And as soon as we do that, the great load is lifted off. We're walking in fellowship with you once again in an Enoch walk. Your will is being, we're yoked to you. Your will is being done in our lives. Your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that that rapture fire would burn every member, Lord, of this body. I pray that there not be a one that doesn't come in contact with that fire. I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would get all the oil, that we would make that our quest, to be filled with oil and be ready. Father, I'm not worried about whether you're coming tonight. You might. The rapture might happen tonight. But if it does, I don't know it. Or if it's going to, I don't know that. What I do know is that it's going to happen at a moment, at a time when people least expect it. It'll just be another ordinary day, perhaps. And that those that go in the rapture are ready. They're ready every day. They're walking with you. They're repenting every day as they need to. They're drawing close to you. They're allowing your word to work within them. They're confessing a different kind of a life. They're lining their testimony up with your word, what your word declares. They won't be surprised when they go in the rapture. They might be surprised who made it, but they themselves won't be surprised. That's their plan. You've given them the token. They have the evidence. Father, I pray that you move upon each and every heart. I pray, Lord, if we need a shaking, that we would be shook this morning. I pray, Lord, that if we're self-pity has got a hold of us, that we shake it free and realize that's something we've got to cast down. Realize it's not coming from you. Realize that whatever it is that's given us this gloomy picture is not reality. It's not the truth. It's not what you've declared concerning us. And that we won't walk in what you've declared if we're not confessing it. But Lord, may we meditate upon your word. May we walk with you. May we confess, Lord, what your word says about us in spite of what our enemy tells us, in spite of what we remember, in spite of what we might even feel. May we confess what your word declares, because that's what you will quicken, and that's what will be lived on earth as it is in heaven. Bless each and every one here this morning, Lord. Forgive us for slowness of heart at times, Lord, for maybe getting a little lax or cooling off. May we be on fire, Lord. And may we remain on fire. May we be lights burning on top of the hill, ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. May others see the joy and the peace, and not manufactured, but the real joy, the real peace that comes with being yoked to you and being surrendered to you. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? We love you. We thank you. We would see Jesus in our midst. And may you receive all honor and glory. We believe you this morning, Lord. We surrender to you. We submit ourselves to you. Now, Lord, may you just use us as you would see fit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy fire, burn away my desire for anything that is not of you and is of me, for I want more of you and less of me. That is not us.